You're good to go.
Yeah, there we go. I want to talk to you about bullies.
Of course we do.
Bullies.
Not nice people.
Yes.
Well, we as a society have been taught to look away, turn away, don't pay attention, don't stand up for self, don't make waves. And we have bullies in our midst. Now, I'm here to tell you, I've been besieged with this subject all week long. It's really wild. And as a child, I was raised up by a father who was very, very intelligent. Had a short fuse, and drank a lot. But when he wasn't drinking, he was probably one of the best men I ever knew in my life. And I was an itty-bitty, tiny little child. I'm only 5'2 now. So, I was a good one for kids to mess with, to bully. And I lived in the country, and I had a family that lived probably about a half a mile from me. And they had like 5 kids who were bullies. They were really mean. And I had to walk past them and wait with them for my school bus. And they loved to torment me. And I really didn't know what to do about it because I wanted to be a good person. I want to be a nice person. And above all else, a Christian. My daddy said, you gotta have to learn how to fight. So my daddy taught me how to fight with my fists. And with a knife, in case of. So he told me some very good distinctive moves that I could make as a teeny tiny person with somebody that was much bigger, that I could really do things with if I had to. Well, I learned. Then I met with my little bully friends waiting for the school bus, and they decided that they were going to beat me up, which happened on a regular basis. And I punched one in the nose, and I grabbed a stick with a big old spike in it and tore a butt. They never bothered me again. And I learned that if you stand up to a bully and you mean it, they will leave you alone. Because bullies only go after victims. Because in truth, they're cowards. Okay? We as a society, we need to speak up. We need to not let people take advantage of us. We need to learn the word no. We need to be a light in the darkness. God didn't put us here to be victimized, I promise you. That is not our purpose. Our purpose is to stand, take our authority, take our power back. That's what it's all about. And we don't have a clue. We teach our kids to not think, but to listen and abide and go by whatever decisions we make for them. Kids need to think. I'm not saying they need to be breaking rules or breaking authority or anything of that nature. I am saying, though, that kids need to be respected and they need to be taught to stand up for themselves. Always. And as spiritual human beings, that is what we're supposed to do. There is a dark side out there, and that is perpetually breaking us down. perpetually telling us we're not good enough, we're not smart enough, we're not pretty enough, we're too fat, we're too skinny, we're too ugly, whatever the case may be. And we're downgraded on a daily basis. That's what we're here to overcome. Not to succumb to, but to overcome. And we're not told that. Who teaches that? I haven't heard it out there. I didn't hear it, except my daddy. My daddy did tell me, don't be a victim. He said, you're short, but you're dynamite. And remember that. And I did. And most parents teach their children to never, ever fight. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and pick a fight. I am telling you to stand your ground. And if you have to, you may have to fight.
My dad said, don't start it, but finish it.
I never, never, ever, ever, ever started any kind of fight. There are bullies and there are leaders. Okay? A bully is a coward who makes other people feel less than and fearful, and they hide behind the bully. He doesn't lead them. They hide behind him. A leader praises those around them, brings them up, and moves forward, and is not afraid. That's a leader. You got a lot of bullies out there. You got a world full of bullies. You've got countries full of bullies. You've got governments full of bullies. That's what they do. They bully people out of everything they have. Bully them out of their own country. We have to learn to stand and fight for what we believe in. And what you have to believe in, number one, is you. A number one, you have to believe in you. Once you start this process of understanding that you can spiritually stand up for yourself, that it is spiritually okay, because I know it's taught to turn the other cheek. I don't think they understood the references there. I have learned that if you show kindness consistently, and I believe in kindness, to someone that will take advantage of you, they will take you for all your worth. I'm sorry about that. Because you're a good person doesn't mean the other people out there are good people. Because you have morals, because you have standards, that does not mean that other people do. I wish it did, but it doesn't. So you have to step outside of your box, and you've got to recognize your value. I have learned that if someone steals from me, that's it. I'm done with them. If somebody lies to me, I'm not saying accidental things, okay? If somebody lies to me, I'm done. I no longer trust them. To win back my trust, it takes a long time. And it's sad. And I have to learn to listen to my intuition. And I'm going to advise all of you to do the same thing there. And they're beginning to teach this. I watched Dr. Oz. And they're talking about listen to your intuition.
That was on TV today, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that video.
Yeah, that was awesome. And they're teaching you how to trust your gut and what to look for. If you feel you can't trust someone, you can't trust them. God has given each and every one of us a warning system. Okay? Your solar plexus. Right here. Right below the sternum. And it clenches when you're in danger. You ever had a car almost hit you and you feel that? Mm-hmm. All right, that's your solar plexus. That's your gut feeling. Now, it can come in many ways. You can get a no that comes right, that's in your head. Don't trust them. That's your guides. That's your guardian angel talking to you. All right? You may not hear that. Some of you can, some of you can't. If your solar plexus clench, you've got danger going on. Be aware of it. If you meet someone and you go into that clench, you better leave. You walk away. You don't stay to find out why. Okay? They were talking on there about sweaty palms. Now, I've never had sweaty palms, so I don't have a clue as to what that... But they said that they took two decks of cards. One deck was set up for you to win big, consistently. The other one was set up for you to lose. The people trying this out found that on the 10th time, they did it like 70 times, on the 10th time, their palms broke out with mild sweat on the one that was the losing side. Now, if they just stopped then, they wouldn't have lost. Now, this is a scientific thing, which is kind of cool. I love when science catches up with the paranormal or spirituality, whatever. But I found that I sometimes hear a voice. Sometimes I have just pre-knowledge or knowledge just before it happens. They had a lady in there that was pregnant, and she had a really bad feeling about the pregnancy, about having the baby, and she had visual, like, she said it was like film of seeing what was going to happen. And there were like short clips of what was going to happen in the future. And she was very, very worried about her bleeding to death, about her dying in the process of having this baby. And she was like an O negative, which is a relatively rare blood type. And she kept telling her doctors, and her doctor said, no, you're going to be fine, everything's fine, all your tests are fine, you have nothing to worry about. And they had her finally talk to the anesthesiologist, and she said, we're going to red flag this, we're going to go ahead and set up for you to have extra blood, and we're going to do what needs to be done in case of. Well, she had the baby, and she almost bled to death, and they had extra blood. Her heart stopped for, I think, 37 seconds, something like that. She flatlined. And she would have died had she not been prepared. Now, some of you guys have dreams that come true. Maybe you don't have them very often, but you really need to pay attention when that happens. Write down the information. It can be pre-warning. Sometimes you just have a feeling that if you go, say you're going to go to the store, maybe you don't feel like maybe that's such a good idea. You have a bad feeling about it. Listen to it. Don't push through it, because it can get you killed or at least hurt. I was driving my, I've told this a few times, but I've got some new people in here. I was driving my daughter to go see a movie. And at that point in time, I had a Lincoln, okay?
And, big car.
Oh, it was beautiful. Yeah, it was pretty. I call it Silver Bullet. Lincoln Continental, you know, really.
Big car.
So we're driving, and all of a sudden I get, turn around, go home. I said, honey, we have to turn around and go home. Well, Mom, we're going to the movies. What do you mean you've got to turn around and go home? We are going to turn around and go home. Because I have learned that if you don't listen to this stuff, you're going to get hurt. Turn the car around. car starts going 90 miles an hour. I'm not making it go 90 miles an hour. It's going like 90 miles an hour. I'm going, oh my God. We get into the driveway and all the power steering was gone. Now, can you imagine in a Lincoln Continental driving down the freeway with no power steering, fluid?
Not good.
Yeah, it's just totally gone.
Not good.
Glad you'd be drinking. Sorry, I didn't do that with you.
I have a Toyota now.
Remember that song?
Yes.
Now, a lot, we were in Mexico City, and we were, it was a whole group of us, and we went out walking down the street, not too far from our hotel, which was not in a really bad part of town. It was a pretty decent part of town. And we crossed the street, and there was another street. And all of a sudden, I hit this line of energy. And I said, okay, we have to stop. We can't cross this line. If we cross this line, we're going to be hurt. And everyone kind of looked at me really weird. But we all turned around and went back. Because I knew that if we crossed that particular line, that we were going to be robbed or hurt or God only knows what. Oh. I listen. So when we go on trips, everybody is kind of behind me.
Good idea.
Yeah, Carol says we're like a little ducky. Ducklings.
I have the same footsteps sometimes.
Good idea.
But now, I didn't always listen, okay? I'm like everybody else. I'm rebellious. I don't want to do... I want to do what I want to do. So I get the little inklings, and I wouldn't listen. And it got me into a lot of trouble. So I finally got a brain and decided that I was going to start listening. And from that day forth, I didn't have a problem. I had never had another accident, nothing. From that day forth. Accidents. I would always know that I was going to have an accident. I would feel out of sync. Do you know what I mean by feeling out of sync? You just don't feel right. I would feel out of sync. And I go, oh, I really don't want to drive today. I just really don't want to do this. But I've got to. Bam, accident. Not that I hit from behind, hit from the side, whatever. Not am I doing. So I finally got it that when you feel out of sync, synchronicity, when you feel out of sync, you don't do anything. You don't go anywhere. You chill. Right, Jim?
I know it. I mean, I'll admit it. I knew. No, I knew it. I knew when I did it. I knew I was going to get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had that, also that reverse feeling of you can do it. You're just going to go up there. Yeah, you're going to push through it and take a 2-second measurement. And the doctors even told me they don't know how I was walking 4 days later, let alone ever got up off the ground.
Like in slow motion.
I'm telling you, you need to listen. You need to be aware.
Because it definitely told me. I knew when I went up, I was pushing the envelope past reason, and I was probably going to wish I hadn't. And I still wish I hadn't. I mean,
I'm gonna put a sign on you.
Oh, yeah.
Kick me.
I have a question for you, Carol. Okay. Something I've noticed, and enough of us in here are old enough. We grew up like your dad, like my dad. My dad was one that he'd walk away from a fight in a second, but if push come to shove. And he had to, he defended himself. And that's how I was raised. And a lot of it as kids and growing up, we had the aspect, I mean, I had some buddies. I mean, we beat the crud out of each other. And then went to one of the other's houses, got cleaned up, had supper, and went on. But our society has changed in such a terrible way that now all they want to do is domestic battery, throw you in jail. They're pushing a society into worse where these kids, okay, we're not going to fight. We'll just get guns and shoot each other. And it's gone 110% so far to the left or right that there's no, I mean, how do you tell a kid, okay, to defend yourself when you know he's probably going to go up against an AK-47 or something else because what these thugs are carrying
around. We are in that age. Now, we were in that age before. It's called the Wild West.
Mm-hmm.
We've been there before.
We're
losing civilization.
Yeah.
We are. It's the way it is. Hopefully it will get restored, but presently we are losing civilization.
I talked to my grandson, and it's like, yeah, he's told me, he said, Grandpa, I'd like to just knuckle somebody. He said, but I know that. Come back and shoot me.
Okay, let me get back to...
Is that the wagon, Carol?
It's getting ready.
It is. So back to the losing civilization.
Yeah. I have to try to stay on track. We are losing a lot of civilization, and the kids now are in bad situations. There are ghetto situations. There are gang situations, and all of that. It's always been there, but it's been under wraps, a lot of it, and that people really didn't know that it was going on to any large extent. Now we know everything that's going on, and probably stuff that are lies
mm-hmm.
on top of that. But we have to learn, with those situations, you have to pick and choose your battles. And you have to be smart enough to pick and choose your battles. You also have to get an education, because if you don't get an education in this day and age, you're in deep, deep trouble. And education's tough now to get, because it's so expensive. But you do have to stand your ground. And I have learned this, even with those type of situations, if you have a good sense of self-worth, if you have a real strong foundation in God, and if you don't allow fear to dominate your life, people will leave you alone. I know that sounds wild, but I've seen it done, and I've seen it happen. I taught some friends in Chicago this. And they were walking down a sidewalk, and there was this mugger that aimed at these two guys that were going to mug them. And these are two women. And they made a decision. They weren't going to allow it. And they literally pushed through, and the guys left them alone. You have to understand that bullies and really negative people, dangerous people, they can't stand against the light. They really can't stand against someone who is solid within themselves, because they're looking for the weak ones, the victims, and they prey on the weak ones and the victims. That's why they are the way they are. They're not going to stand against somebody who's going to stand strong. They're not going to do it. Now, if they have a gun, now, I know this sounds far-fetched, but I've been in some pretty strange situations. And I have learned that if you truly stand, people back down. They don't expect you to stand. I've dealt with murderers. Okay? I mean, really tall murderers at that. And people cower from someone who's my height who'll stand. Now, you're talking about situations where you have with ISIS, something along that line. That's kind of a whole different ballgame because you've got a whole situation there. And you have crowds and crowds of people who are terrified. And that energy permeates everything and it builds these people up, which is primarily why they do it. But if you understand energies and you understand the power that you have as a child of God, and you have energy too, that you can call upon it. And I've had situations where were some really bad situation. I called upon the Archangel Michael and his legions for protection, and I got it. You have to believe it, though. It actually helps believe in God if you want God's help. Any questions on that? Yeah.
I do. I don't know if you would classify as a bully or not, but what about just mean people? Is it better just to get away from them and just
Absolutely.
Turn away? I mean,
yeah.
Instead of standing up and causing more conflict?
There are some people that my family, not all my family, but what I grew up with, they were violent people. Not all of them, but the majority of them were violent people. And they drank. There's a lot of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
And they would fight with each other and anyone else that was there. So as a kid, I got beat up a lot. Okay? And when I became an adult, well, actually before I became an adult, when I got about 16, I divorced those folks. I'm not dealing with them. I wouldn't deal with them anymore.
But what about not physical, just negative,
negative,
nasty?
No, I don't care. No, you walk away.
And that's what
you
I did.
You can't change them. You can't help them. If they're going to bring you down and cut you down and make you feel less than and you feel miserable about them and with them and around them, you get out. Get out. I don't care if they're your blood.
They're not.
And I had an ex-mother-in-law that was extremely negative. Oh, she was awful. I just didn't deal with her.
The fact that you brought up that is just, of course, you we're always here when we need to be here, but that it's hit me over the last month. People that I thought were truly good friends have just been mean. Just mean.
Before you slice and dice them, though, you might approach them with, just for your sake, because you may be taking them wrong, or the dark side could be messing with you. You could say, I need to clarify something. You said this, you did this, this is how I took it, how did you really mean it?
You don't think that'll stir something up if they didn't mean it negative?
Didn't matter. You're going to slice them off anyway, right?
Probably.
Then don't worry about it. You need clarification. People, I personally feel that people need to know why you're cutting them away. They need that clarity. They need that closure. And it might even help them. You don't know. You're not doing it for that purpose. You're doing it for your own self so that you bring closure and you don't just walk away without ever giving them the opportunity.
Okay.
It sounds to me like it for a period of time they were okay.
Yes.
Something has shifted and changed. This is my psychic part of me. Something has shifted and changed and it's made you get really hurt.
Yes.
And consequently, you're wanting to just walk away. You need to get that clarification with them first, because they were okay.
Okay.
And you've spoken to the dark side using other people to mess with you, maybe prey on your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know all about that with my dear old daddy. What is the best course of action for not combating that, but when you recognize it, how isn't there strength in recognizing that they're being manipulated?
Yes.
And what steps do you take forward in that situation?
I had a lot of that through my husband. They would take him over in heartbeats. He's very humanistic. And I could see him shift and change. What I did was I asked the Band of Mercy to remove whatever's attached to 15. Do whatever they deem necessary with it in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'd watch him shift in front of me.
But that was your husband.
That was my husband.
But you can't do that to other adults. You
can't if they're in your home.
Only if they're in your home.
If you're, yeah. In your home you can. You have authority.
Okay.
But if it's a situation like you're at their house and mm-hmm. they shift and change, then you say, I'm sorry, I'm leaving. Bye.
Come over to my house, we'll talk about it.
Well, you know my dad's good game, though. I'll say something, give him information. Well, you know, that's not how it is.
That's fine. That's okay.
Wait, oh, it's not. Okay.
No.
I've been sensitive lately.
You've got to stop that sensitivity.
I know.
Look.
Two little peas sitting in a pod.
You can't be personalizing what other people say.
I mean that, thank you. Hit me with that 2x4, Carol. I love it.
Well, it's true.
I know.
If I personalized what everybody ever said to me, I would never, I don't know that I'd be alive.
Picking out from a rock?
When I was in school, school is pure hell, as you well know. Not only was I little, but I was psychic. This meant that everybody and their brother would say, you're a witch. You're weird. We don't want to be around you. You're weird. Witch. Yeah. I went through that like every day. I got to a place where I wanted to know, what's a witch? I didn't know what it was. I didn't know what a witch was. No one knew what psychic was back then. There was no information out there. So I had to make stands. I'd go, number one, I'm a Baptist. And I'd say, no, I don't know what a witch is, but I'm a Baptist. I don't know what your problem is. And I had to learn to stand. And from time to time, I still do. But I couldn't take it personally. If I'd taken it personally, it would have destroyed me. You can't do that. It's their problem. It's not yours, unless you accept it as yours. With your father, just tell him, Carol said. Throw it in his face and rub it a little bit.
I think he needs that little bit reminder lately.
Sometimes I told her father that she had psychic abilities, that he should listen. So he discounts her.
Favorite thing to do.
So, number one, you have to recognize who your father is. He does that.
Yeah.
To everyone.
Especially when he doesn't like what you're saying.
He never did that with me.
Well, when he
didn't like what I said. But he didn't do it with me. But you need to go, okay, this is all about you. This has nothing to do with me. And I'm not going there. That's what you need to say. After you've told him that I've already told him so. Okay?
One, Carol. Two, your problem, not mine.
Correct. That's another thing. You have to not personalize what other people say, what other people think about you. 99% of the time, they don't think about you anyway. It's a flash in the pan. And learn to blow it off.
Easier said than done.
No, it's easier done than said. I'm sorry. When I finally got it, it made my life so much easier. Oh my God. Or am I right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't have to worry about what other people said. I didn't have to worry about what they did or didn't do. I didn't have to worry about fixing them. Oh my God, what
baby steps.
Oh, that was awesome. And I could be alive and take care of me. And that's huge. Wait.
Is that not part of God's, of us being here? Part of our training to exactly learn that everybody has a brain, everybody has a soul, everybody has their own pattern of thought.
Yep.
And we have to learn to deal through those patterns of
No, we do not have to learn to deal with those. We do not have to learn to do anything with those. We have to learn to not deal with those and recognize it's their problem, not ours. You take on their problems. You try to help them. You try to fix them. They see you as weak, and they use you and abuse you. And they don't get fixed. As a matter of fact, you're enabling them to do that not only to you, but to everyone else they come in contact with. So you have not enabled, you have actually disabled them. So, yes, what we are here to learn is how to recognize that we need to learn to respect other people's paths, point of view, what they will or will not accept, and that they're different than we are. And it's okay. When we try to play God in people's lives, it's not okay. And we do it out of this place called love, but it's really and truly misplaced, because we're actually doing more harm than good to the ones that we love by trying to help them. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am not saying you never help another human being. That's not what this is about. But when you help people at the risk of yourself and at the sacrifice of yourself and who you are and what you are and what you have, that's a mistake. Okay? You don't do that. You have to learn boundaries. We need to learn boundaries. We don't have boundaries. We go too far. We have to learn, I'm important too. If I put myself at sacrifice for you, that's not right of me, and it's not right of you. Do you kind of understand? If you feel good about helping someone, you help them. That's fine. If you want to give your money to this charity and you feel right about that and you feel okay about that, you do that. I'm not saying don't do it. Trust your gut. Trust your intuitive side. If you've got this thing of, I really don't trust you, I really don't want to do this, don't do it. And on top of that, you're going to begrudge. And that's even worse. Then you're going to go, oh God, what did I agree to do this? I don't want to do this. And then you do it begrudgingly. You should never have done it to begin with. That's wrong. It's just wrong. When you find yourself kicking yourself over something, you need to learn the lesson so you don't do that one again. Been there, done it, got the t-shirt.
What about just offering to help? And then if they say no, then that's
if
okay.
If they say no, don't offer.
Or if they don't come to you for it, then...
No.
You can only offer. You can't do it for
one time. Only one time. There was a woman that I saw that was in a lot of pain, and I knew, it's one of those things, I knew that I could heal her. And it's not everyone that I can heal, believe me. It's really weird how that works. But I asked her if I could do a healing on her in the name of Jesus. And she looked at me and she said no. I said, okay. And that was that. That was the end of that. I left it alone.
Did you know her? She's a stranger to you.
I semi-knew her.
She said no.
She said no.
You know why she said no?
I think she liked what the illness brought her.
Oh, a lot of tension.
Illnesses are... A lot of people like their illnesses because it gets them off the hook.
Oh, I think it's because of that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
That's another thing with bullies. Bullies don't like to take responsibility. They want you to carry the responsibility. It's like the poor woman, she gets beat up by her husband. Her husband said, well, if you hadn't have done this, I wouldn't have had to do that. You made me beat you up. Excuse me? I don't think so. If they do that, why am I mad? You made me mad. I can't make anybody do anything.
If you were, then you'd be a witch.
Good point. So, bullies, again, are cowards. And they don't want to take responsibility. They don't. Whatever they do is never their fault, ever. It's always everybody else's fault.
Or what they don't do.
Or even, yeah, what they don't do. It's your fault I had to sleep all day on the couch because I didn't want to hear your voice. Whatever the case may be. That's the way it is out there.
You know, as far as the you were saying about the turning the other cheek, and you're so sure you agree with that, I believe if you look back at the original teachings of that in the Middle East,
yes,
where it came from, you know, to slap somebody, or to slap somebody, you have to use your right hand because the left hand is unclean.
Yeah.
So if they turn the other cheek after you slap them, the only option they would have would be to use the back of their right hand. And from what I understand, in that culture, do that actually is a symbol of meaning you and I are the same.
Ah, thank you very much.
And so actually when Jesus or whoever in the Bible would say, turn the other cheek, it was really not meaning let them continue to beat you up, but actually make them aware that
you're equal.
That you're an equal, right.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very helpful, truly. Very good. Any questions?
I'm ready to take it a little bit different when you are.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, so a few sessions back, our dear friend had a bracelet that wouldn't open because she decided to listen to a meditation, a healing meditation, for opening the chakras that called upon Archangel Metatron, who is a universal archangel, who doesn't really have time to do things like opening chakras.
It's not their responsibility.
What are some of the dangers and the consequences of calling upon members of God's spirit community to do things other than the duties that God has assigned to them?
Well, I have that a lot. People will come in, clients will come in, and they'll tell me that they call upon the Archangel Michael for travel or for things that they... They're lost in space as far as what archangels do, or angels, or the spirit community in general. And so they're calling upon this archangel, or this saint, or that saint. And I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. If you're going to call upon any of the spirit community, you had better become knowledgeable about who you're dealing with. The problem with this is trying to get the right knowledge. That's difficult. the closest thing that I was able, let me rephrase this. I asked my guides, because they have all knowledge, and they informed me of who was who and who I can call upon. Now, I know some of you don't have that privy that I have with mine, although you can evolve it, but it would really, you really have to get busy with the project. But there was a dictionary of angels that I got my hands on that was pretty reliable as far as the angelics, what their duties and responsibilities were. I think it's very, can be dangerous if you're on a spiritual path and you don't call upon the right angelic assistance. They're not going to hurt you, but they're probably going to let you know that something's messed up.
Might teach a little lesson, huh?
Yeah, a little lesson. Not serious.
Like not taking off a bracelet.
Like your bracelet's going to be
used onto your arm, yeah. Which is what it was. It was fused.
Yes, I tried to yank it apart and it wasn't coming open.
You didn't see it where it was. It had been fused inside. I mean, it was very obvious by looking at it.
It was magnets. There were two little magnets that came together. And you couldn't pull them apart. You just couldn't pull them apart.
I tried really hard.
And then finally found out what happened. I said, okay, this is where you made your mistake. You called upon the Archangel Metatron to open your chakras through something you ran across on the internet. And you got a little lesson. At that point, it came apart.
Yeah, I was able to pull it off of
it. Not a problem.
Crazy.
Didn't have that problem again. Yep,
and the inside, you could see, she brought a new one to show us what it looked like, and then she showed us the one that had been, and it looked like it was fused together, like someone had welded it inside.
Weird.
The universe archangel's apparently good at
welding.
Good at welding.
Magnets.
I don't think it was the archangel.
One of his legions.
Maybe a co-worker. But if you're going to call upon them, at least become knowledgeable. And don't go on the internet to get that.
Unless it's carolpate.com.
Unless it's mine. No.
Don't you have a Dictionary of Angels?
I do. Yeah. Can you grab that for me? I'm going to show you. And they may be hard to come by now. I don't know.
Dictionary of Angels.
But that's what my guides told me to use. Thank you, dear. It is the Dictionary of Angels, including fallen angels. It's got all the names of the fallen angels and what their duties were. Now, I found it through my work to be pretty accurate. And this is information that's been, they've apparently got from all over the world in studying. As Gustav Davison. But I do recommend it. And I got a lot of information. My guides would tell me to look in here for, various things, different angelics. They would tell me to look in here to find out what their duties were. So apparently, the Shaddai, they told me to look up the Shaddai in here, and that would give me information. And I looked it up, and that was something that we were supposed to start using and wearing for our protection. And it's awesome. It's just absolutely awesome. So you might want to look at this book. It's a really, really good book. Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Okay.
You said at age 13 is when children become of age.
Spiritually. Age of consent.
What about their prayers before they're 13? Because you said before that the parent is responsible for their... Okay. So what about the child praying themselves?
It helps to build their authority.
Okay.
Their spiritual authority. It helps to build their foundation, their spiritual foundation. I was always told to do my nightly prayers and to pray for others as a child.
Well, so it's okay to tell children to
pray. Absolutely.
Because I told my grandson to just ask when he had a test that he was a little worried about, to be able to think clearly and remember, recall everything he studied.
You could teach children to ask for guides. My daughter, she was going through different studies in school, and she would have a hard time, like with math or whatever. And I called for a guide of mathematics to work with you at that level. Always at that level.
Right.
You don't want a kid.
A college professor, right.
Yeah. And she'd get it. And I also taught her to go to Universal Knowledge for information.
That's a new tidbit.
Oh, you don't know about...
No, I don't know about Universal Knowledge.
Oh, I love Universal Knowledge. My guides taught me Universal Knowledge. But they taught me that when I was little.
I've got 2.5 years of school in front of me. That'll help.
Okay, so all you have to do is say, I wish to go into Universal Knowledge. It's that simple. Relax, close your eyes, and ask your question. You have to go there with a question.
And very specific.
Now, understand, Universal Knowledge has no right or wrong.
It just is.
It just is. It's just information with no right or wrong to it. So you can't go there asking a spiritual question.
That would be for your guides.
Yeah, go through your guides. You go there for pure information.
You get stuck on a test.
Right. Exactly.
So if you're channeling, are you channeling through that or through your guides? When you know the answers to things.
It's not through that.
No. Okay.
It's through your higher self.
Okay.
Now my guides will come through me and I will channel, or they channel through me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of, quote, channelers that aren't really channeling anything other than their ego.
I'm talking about like when you all of a sudden have this knowledge that you didn't know you had, but it's correct.
That's your guides. That's your guides. Your guides have all knowledge. Okay? But Universal Knowledge is really, really very simple. It's very easy. All you have to do is, that's your destination. That's where you want to go to get the answer. And the answer will pop in.
I like that.
Oh, it's so much easier.
Because the divine spirits and the guides of got me on the dean's list my last semester of undergrad. That was
great.
Fabulous. I just need to do that with grad school, too.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, since it's neither good or bad, it has pure information that will work well with colleges and that sort of thing, because it'll match up with their information.
I like it.
Yeah, you'll like it a lot. It's great for teaching kids.
So you just say, I ask for
Universal knowledge.
For such and such question.
You're making a request to...
You just ask for universal knowledge. That's what they told me to do, and that's what I did.
For the specific question.
Not a spiritual question, but a question that requires knowledge that you don't have.
How do you make sure that you come out of it?
I never had a problem.
Okay.
I got the information, I was...
Done.
That was it. Okay. It's not a place you linger.
Okay, so it's go, get your question, get out.
Yeah. Well, it's your like answer. your mind good expands to it. That's a good question. Your mind expands to it.
So it's reach, yeah. Grabbing the answer back down.
Yeah.
Does that work with concepts as well as just facts?
Concepts. No, it's just pure facts. A concept would have a right or a wrong. You could ask your guides on concepts. And they can give you the information. And guides speak this way or this way directly in your head. Although sometimes I've had them talk.
Into your right.
Yeah, into the right side. Which is really freaky when they actually have a voice that you can hear.
Wow. And it's not your voice.
And it's not. And it's a man's voice.
When you ask your guide, sometimes it seems like I've seen you not do it verbally. You're just thought.
Yeah. I have had that. But they prefer verbally that we speak it out, because they have always told me that words have power. Their energy, their resonance, their harmonies, and they have power.
And to expand on that, because the demonic or Satan, can they read your thoughts, or do they just, they can't read your thoughts?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they know what, they know more about you than you do.
They can all read your thoughts.
Yeah, they all pretty much. But where Satan will come in and play with your head, God, you must speak it out. You must ask. You may go, oh, I've had people try to do liftings just mentally. Yep. You have to verbalize the liftings. You can't do that. I have a friend who's a masseuse, and before he ever does anything with them, he mentally does a lifting on them without even asking their permission. And I've told him, you're doing nothing. Nothing is being accomplished here.
I'm wasting time.
You're breaking laws.
What is a lifting?
A lifting is a prayer that you're asking. There's like
four
lines to it. I'll give you a copy of it if you want it.
Four sections.
Yeah, four sections. The first section is you're asking the band of mercy to remove anything that's attached, affecting, or influencing you in the name of Jesus Christ, and place them either in protected sanctuary or do whatever they deem necessary. The second part is asking for the appropriate archangel or angels and their legions to remove anything demonic. The third part is asking for the appropriate archangel or angels and the appropriate legions from the appropriate realms or counter realms. Yeah. And then the fourth part is the Benai Lord. I know this mentally. Okay.
I think that may be her copy.
That's your copy.
Keep it in the plastic.
Yeah, if you don't, it tends to disappear.
But it's online
now. Disappear.
Yeah, it's online now, and you can download it on smartphones now.
And you can listen to it. There's a recording of Carol saying the lifting, so if you're feeling like a Carol lifting that particular day.
And you don't know how to pronounce it.
Thank you, Savannah. Yeah. You're so nice. Yeah.
That wasn't me. That was before my time.
Yeah.
I inherited that.
Oh. Sometimes can you go over, and maybe over a course of time, the entities in the lifting? Shim Farish and
Shim Him for
Shim Him. Oh, okay. See, I don't say it right. So.
Shim Him for.
Should we possibly do that after the
after
break?
Break?
Yeah, we'll do break first, and then bring it up.
Can you explain some of these?
Yeah. But you're gonna have to bring it up after the break.
Okay.
Sure. I got you. I got you, Cass.
All right, we're gonna take a break.
Go break.
20-minute break.